From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February the 8th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
The GIS Certification Institute issued a request for comment on revised certification requirements and procedures. We're going to look at how the word gets out about the value of the certification itself and how it should be marketed and how more of you can become recruited to take up the GIS professional banner. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Safe Software. Transform spatial data to use and share. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in more than 250 formats. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn how at askfme.com.
Adina, first I want to review where we are with the proposal and how it came into being. We're not really going to delve into commenting on the proposal, but I do want to give some background on the GIS Certification Institute and the GISP certification. I just want to make sure that our listeners are aware that those working in GIS can actually receive a certificate designating them as a GIS professional. You know, the process by which people receive the certificate is under review, which is what the whole request for comment is about. This process in the past involved a rather lengthy collation of materials to get your GISP, and it needed to be submitted to a certification board, and that's what is under review currently. I do want to quote one thing from the request for comment, and I quote, on June 30th, 2010, the GISCI Board of Directors charged the Certification Committee's Core Competency Working Group to prepare a serious proposal that enables informed discussion and decision-making about the prospect for more rigorous GISP certification. With the Certification Committee's endorsement, the working group delivered a proposal to the board on December 15, 2010, and on January 5th, the proposal was released for public comment. And a little bit more on that. Though portfolio-based certification was appropriate for its first decade of operations, GISCI should plan now to implement more rigorous certification requirements as soon as possible after its second decade begins in 2014. In particular, the lack of a mandatory examination component undermines the effectiveness and perceived value of GISP certification as a means to promote competent and ethical practice. And a core problem is that the GISP credential is not sufficiently valued by employers. And I think that's where we want to start, which is how some of this information about the GISP gets communicated, how this credential gets marketed, is it of value, how does it become more valuable? Those are some of the challenges that I think that we want to tackle. As I said at the beginning, we're not going to comment on the elements of the certification process, but let's focus now on how we communicate this GISP designation inside and outside the GIS community. So let's start there. What do you think you would advise GISCI, GISCI, about where we start with communicating this whole certification process?
Okay, well, I think I need to say from the outset, I think that until now, GISCI has done a pretty respectable job communicating within our industry. You certainly saw sessions about the certification at all the different conferences. There's a twice a year newsletter, although the last one was in the summer of 2009, so I think that's fallen off. So I think there's a level of awareness within our community. I fear, however, that awareness skews toward the don't bother me with that, that's not valuable kind of response than a more positive one. So that needs to be changed. The real issue, I think, too, not only that what is the message that we want to get out, but how do we get the message out? I don't find GISCI on Twitter. I don't find them on Facebook. I'm not sure how they reach out to students and educators. I don't know about how they reach out to headhunters and other people who recruit. And I don't know how they reach out to employers who might be hiring somebody in the geospatial arena. to make them aware that this is something you should be looking for.
Yeah, that's a real issue, and I perceive a gap between the both constituents that you just mentioned, the students, the people who may be working right now in the field, and the employers. Again, I perceive that the designation, the GISP designation, has come up in value. I see more people attaining GISP. To some degree, the GISP designation is put on some notices of employment. I don't know if that's reached critical mass as yet. What has happened in the interim between when they originally released the certification requirements in 2004, when they came into being, and now, is something different, which is, I think, the reason for this new revision of the process. And I just want to make sure that our listeners are aware that, and I'm going to quote from the release document again, recent developments in the geospatial field now provide the industry validated competency specifications that had yet to be defined in 2004. These include the U.S. Department of Labor's geospatial technology competency model and new occupation titles and descriptions for the geospatial information scientist and technologist, as well as GIS technician. So some of this is being driven by the fact that there are these new Department of Labor, the competency model explanation. Some of that is being communicated, but I still perceive this gap. How are we going to get from what we know is available in terms of a competency and the test, and then getting people to actually take the test? I don't know if there's this huge gap here, and I think your suggestion of social media is apt at this point.
Well, I guess I just want to recognize, and I think Gishy recognizes this too. One of the articles I read in one of the newsletters was to try to recruit people for the outreach committee. I wonder if you serve on the Gishy outreach committee if you get contribution points to the industry for doing so.
That's a good point.
Wouldn't that be a great way to contribute to sort of encourage the certification that you have already attained? So somehow there needs to be some incentives. And frankly, who better to communicate about the value of the GISP than people who have gone through the process and have seen the value?
And there's got to be a little bit of buzz, don't you think, in particular at conferences, ERISA, GITA, that you would get people to come to the Gishy booth. Maybe there's got to be a little promotional campaign. Again, it gets down to marketing. So I'm wondering if more should be done. And I don't know if they're waiting to get through this process of getting the exam in place, but they need to create a little bit of buzz at this point.
Right, and that's a long-term communications plan. And let's face it, we're not talking about a huge organization with lots and lots of marketing dollars. We're not. So this is going to have to be streamlined and clever, and maybe hire a consultant with some experience and get this going for the short and long term, to keep
right.
that conversation going. And I'm not saying this is easy. It's not. I think it's easier to determine what methods to use to communicate than it is to even put together a solid message. That's even harder.
Yeah, I agree with you. And just, again, so our listeners know, we at Directions have offered Gishy the opportunity to host a free webinar for anybody to come and find out about any of the new requirements that will be taking place. And I hope they take us up on that, because I think that's one way to get the news out. But there are certainly others that we can explore.
All right. What other ideas do you have for Gishy to move this along and get the word out?
Well, you mentioned social media, and that is certainly one aspect that they need to communicate at. I do think that there ought to be something done at conferences beyond just speaking about it. I think to wave the colors, as you may suggest, at the Gishy booth, I think there ought to be something that you can hold out to the X number of GIS professionals that exist to get them. It's kind of like find a member, get a member, that kind of a thing. I think that that's some ways that you could go out and recruit. If for someone who doesn't yet have the GISP and you know somebody who has a GISP, go out and get that person, explain the benefits to them, bring them into the fold, try to get somebody else interested in becoming a GISP.
Well, and there's another part of that too, and that's that somehow there's got to be a pull that makes you want to be a member of this group. And I've been thinking about this a lot because, and I hate to always go back to running, but I know running and I know running clubs, and so do you. One of the things that both the coaches that I've been involved with my club have always been very adamant about is they want us to show the colors, which in our case are black and gold. And I always sort of wondered, why was it such a big deal? You know, if you run a race, what's the difference if you wear your favorite shirt as opposed to the club colors? And what I learned is, if you're out there behaving like a responsible member of the running community, that makes running look good, and it makes our club look good. And I have had people come up to us and say, wow, your club is so amazing. You have, you know, 21 teams at this relay, and you're all out there cheering for each other, way down to the very last team that's coming in. And I was sort of stunned, and I said, well, doesn't your club do that? And we get people joining our club because they see how we operate and they know who we are because we wear the colors. Now, how do we translate that, admittedly, very different kind of thing? How do we do that?
Well, I think certainly one of the ways you can do that is offer a T-shirt, offer a rather professional-looking shirt with a GISP designation.
You do get a pin.
I don't know if that's good.
I have to say, I don't know that I've ever seen one. But again, this has to be professional, and it has to be, you know, somehow you have to be identified. So, for example, when a GISP is speaking at an event, I mean, I hope they have on their slide, you know, their name, GISP, and so forth. But can we do a little more? Should they get a special thing on their badge? I think at some events they do.
I think that's a good observation.
I think that has been sort of make that more de rigueur. You know, and again, figure out a way for them to show the colors.
Right. I think that's a great suggestion. I too have noticed that more of the presentations that I see people using the GISP designation, and I think that more of that has to be done. I actually think that that's probably what has spurred a lot of people already to consider a GISP, is because they have seen it more and more.
In somebody else's signature and so forth.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way. But that doesn't really address how we do it outside. And I think we ought to got to come back to that. Outside our industry, because it really isn't solidified there.
In a real sense, it's as much about getting that word out to those outside the community as it is those inside.
But let's be clear. What do you consider outside the industry? Generic employer working in IT? Or is this other communities that you would address?
Both. I think IT is a really important one because we in geospatial have sort of a love-hate relationship with IT because sometimes they limit us in what we can do, and yet we need to work with them to make successful small and large implementations. So having IT people and CIOs and CTOs aware that this thing is out there, I think is incredibly valuable across all different industries. Because if they're not hiring a GIS professional today, they probably will be in the next couple of years.
Well, I also have to argue that you need to inform the HR people. Eventually, that the designation has to reach that level for them to say, oh, I recognize this as something of value. I think that's a challenge because HR people don't necessarily know GIS. They don't necessarily know GISP.
No, but you hope that they go to human resources kind of conferences and read human resources kinds of publications and are on Twitter with other HR people, right?
Well, and I also hope that the Department of Labor would help promote this in some way. I don't know how they do that, but the whole thing came about by the Geospatial Technology Competency Model promoted by the DOL. This has got to get out there somehow.
Right, and again, that comes to a whole nother communications challenge. And we're asking, again, the small organization to get outside of its comfort zone. It may know who to communicate with, you know, within, like Directions Media and folks like us. But how do you communicate with HR departments and tech communities and so forth? How do you do that?
Well, I think it starts with the companies that are in GIS already. I think you have to get with those HR people promoted. I don't think that would be a huge imposition to do. I think you got to start where you know, and then maybe branch out to where you have a little less comfort.
Right. And again, it might be in those companies where there is sort of a critical mass of GISPs, which I would imagine would be in some of those larger companies, that the Lockheeds and the BAE Systems and those kind of people.
Yeah, and I'm curious, and now that you say that, that what do those HR people in those big companies know about the GISP? Or is it on the radar screen? So I think that's one thing to explore, is to have Gishy reach out to them and say, hey, you know, what's going on at your level? Do you know about this thing? And, you know, we're revising the examination process. I think they got to know that. I think that's where they start.
Right. And in even broader things, I just read an article this morning about geospatial being a good place to get a job. And it basically explains what a GIS professional does. And then it says it usually doesn't require a license. Well, there is no license, so you can't have one if you wanted one. But it does not go on to mention that there is a sort of – they talk about there are schools that provide certificate programs if you've gone through these levels of education. But there's no mention that there is, in fact, a
– Right.
So there's another opportunity. But again, how do you make that known? And where are the people who are writing those kinds of articles going? They're going to the DOL. This particular one referenced ERISA but did not reference Gishy. So
yeah.
Somehow, again, we're not getting the word out. People are looking, but we're not getting, they're not getting all the information.
One of the things that the Geotech Center is involved in, because they're under the auspices of this advanced training and education, I'm going to get it wrong, it's ATE Centers.
Which is the Department of Labor thing?
Yeah, it's the Department of Labor. And I hung a few videos out on the Directions Magazine website that is sort of like a GIS 101. And I would, I guess, encourage Gishy to do a little video and put it out there. Why do you want a GISP? And I think in conjunction with the Geotech Center, they may want to consider that.
It sounds like we're identifying more and more groups that we need to reach out to. And I was picking my brain and trying to think if I knew of any GISPs who, for example, focus on open source. And I'm sure there are some out there. I just don't know who they are. But that's another whole group that's maybe a little less, you know, they're in a sort of a different realm sometimes than the more traditionally educated GIS professional. They work with different kinds of software. But it would be lovely to have an advocate within that group.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. And you're absolutely right. That's a group that you may think is a little bit outside the mainstream GIS group, and I think that would be an excellent opportunity for Gishy to reach out to them, attend their conferences, and wave the GISP banner for sure. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Safe Software, asks, feeling CAD fused? GIS organized? FME can help. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in 250-plus formats so you can transform data to use and share. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn more at askfme.com. That's askfme.com. A few reminders from us here at Directions. Please check out our new channels. These are new web resources for finding news and trends related to your field of interest. Go to directionsmag.com/channels and bookmark it today. We also have a very informative webinar this week, Geospatially Enabling Your Smart Grid, sponsored by Infotech. That will be on February 10th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Go to directionsmag.com/webinars to register for free. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.